Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study of Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, titled, Why Are Ye Subject? If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can send those along with any check or money order donation to the ministry to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You may also make donations by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button. Now we begin our study of Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, titled, Why Are Ye Subject? This is part 2 of 2. Colossians 2, we're going to start in verse 20. And of course, the idea is that you follow along, and so we're building on what we've studied in previous weeks. I try to avoid doing what a lot of preachers do when they teach a series or they teach expository messages. They go back and re-preach previous two studies before they get into the one we're in. And I'm not going to do that now. I try to never do that. But we are going to build on what we already learned. And beginning in verse 20, we're going to read through the rest of the chapter. Verse 23. So go ahead and read with me if you would. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So I apologize for the bad Bible reading there, but you got the gist. Amen. This time of year, for future reference, anybody watching or listening to this, we're a week away from Christmas. Christmas will be next Tuesday, if I'm right, right? And then Christmas Eve will be next Monday. So our next Sunday service will be the 23rd. And this, as I said, this time of year, the Baptist popes come out of the woodwork. And every once in a while, some folks seem to not have experienced that, so good for you. But a lot of us experience it every year. And Baptist popes, by that I mean that they claim, that independent, fundamental, autonomous local churches. But if you go against their convictions, then you get excommunicated. Yeah. Or as the Allballs like to refer to it, as being dismembered. But your spirituality is judged based upon how rigid you follow their convictions. And that's what we're dealing with a lot this time of the year. In verse 20, we read the first phrase there, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. So we start with that assumption. The assumption is that as a Christian, you're supposed to be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, but that's a big if. You can be saved and carnal. Now, contrary to what a lot of people teach, that doesn't mean that you can be saved and live in complete rebellion against God, because if you do that, God is going to chastise you. And if ye be without chastisement, then you are bastards, according to Hebrews, which means you're not saved. And if you are chastised and you still won't repent of your rebellion, God will kill you. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. He'll destroy you if you destroy that temple. That temple is you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's in you. And we don't know. I always tell everybody, that's a biblical truth, but be careful going around pointing fingers. Good Christian people who were not in rebellion died young. I believe that young man who tried to get over there and preach to that Aborigine tribe, where was that at? Indonesia. I believe he was a good Christian young man. And he was killed. How old was he? 30-some, 20-some, 20, late 20s? And so, why did he die? Why did God allow him to die? Well, you know, even though you're a Christian and you can be a good spirit-filled Christian, you still suffer the consequences for your choices. Yeah. Now, does that mean it was a bad choice? Well, when we get to heaven, we'll find out. I think that choosing to risk your life to preach the gospel to a bunch of unsaved people is not a bad choice. And, you know, I've been in danger. I'm not saying this to boast, but I'm just saying that before Mariah was even born, there were a couple of occasions where I was down in the rough parts of Columbus. And in one case, there was a guy pulled a knife on another guy, and me and the fellow who were out going door knocking, witnessing, we walked right past him, and he could turn around and just jabbed us with that knife. But there was no other way to get out, and so we just kind of said, the guy with me says, "Don't look at him, just follow me." You know, we... He walked right out, and the Lord kept us safe. And that was before cell phones. And I said, "Should we go to call a cop, you know, to pay phone or something?" He says, "Well, let's sit here for a minute." And the guy backed away and put his knife away and walked away from the guy he had the knife on. So we didn't call the cops because neither one of them looked like they were members of the PTA, if you know what I mean. So that's the kind of thing... We got to be careful about judging the relationship between a person and God. Only that person and God knows their heart. But we can kind of pick up some things from the way they act. We can pick up some things. And so if you see Christians who are living as though they're not dead with Christ, living attached to the rudiments of the world, that's a problem. And what you can do is pray for them. Amen. There are some people I'm praying for. I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling they're not right with God. I see attitudes, I see actions, I hear words, and I'm human. And so I think about it and I think, you know, that's just not right. So what do? Pray for them. Because I don't know. To me, it may look like they're not right with God and they're in rebellion. And the truth is, they have an ingrown toenail. Amen. It could be something, or a sore throat, or a headache. Or maybe the wife's nagging them. Or maybe the woman, her husband, won't do the dishes or help around the house and she's getting tired of being his slave. Amen, amen, amen. You know, I don't know. You don't know, so we got to be careful. But we can pray for people. And then sometimes in answer to prayer, what God does is He opens His eye, opens your eyes to the reality that they're not really in rebellion. They just have having a bad day or, in some cases, a bad life. Amen. But what we can do is examine ourselves. And we're told to do that in Scripture. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? See, look at that. Wow. That's from the Apostle Paul. So, you do need to examine yourself and think about yourself in those terms, but you can't examine other people. You can't examine their hearts. Amen. It's a very personal thing. We call it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for a reason. Amen? Amen. Now, it's worth considering. Those given to submitting to legalistic religion exhibit traits of a lost soul. Amen. And you see these people who belong to cults, and you see people who belong to independent fundamental Baptist churches, yep, where they do everything in the flesh and pretend it's the spirit. Yep. They have a list of things you're supposed to do and not do. Now, there's, again, I'm going to say this over and over, probably six times at least in this message. We're not talking about the things God says to do or not do. When I stand up here, John's up here, Stephen's up here, and we're teaching and we're quoting the scripture that says, do this or don't do that, that's God's word. Amen. But beyond that, churches have their lists. Yep. And it's a dangerous thing to operate like that. Now, people want that. People have come here and they've been upset because we don't have a big list of things and we don't tell them everything to listen to and everything to watch and every place to go and what to wear and what to eat and everything. And what? It's totally foreign to them to have a personal walk with God where God's the one telling them those things. Well, we're not going to feed into that. You're going to get over that and grow. We want you to walk in grace, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
But some of them walk right out the door because that's what they want. They want that list. But those are the rudiments of the world. They're human ordinances without any clear biblical foundation. I get in trouble because, for example, I won't preach against tattoos. You won't hear me come in and say, this week we're going to preach on why not to get a tattoo. Why? Because it would be totally Gregology. Do I like tattoos? I despise them. I think they're ugly. I think LeBron James looks like somebody beat him with a stick. Look at LeBron, those ugly tattoos. I've got friends, relatives, they just look like big bruises. And then people get them in places where no one else should ever even see them. Think about that. What they call the tramp stamps. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Women getting, they call them tramp stamps. They get a tattoo where the only time you can see them is if their pants are going down a little bit and their shirt's riding up on them. You know, that kind of thing. If you got one of those, between you and the Lord. I think it's dumb. I think it's ugly. But it's between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
Some people go back to the Old Testament. They say, well, right there in the Old Testament, it says not to have carvings. Well, that was stated to circumcised Jews under the law. Are you a circumcised Jew under the law? You ladies, are you the product of a father or a husband now married to a husband who is circumcised and you're a part of the law? Well, if not, then show me where outside of that it says that you shouldn't get a tattoo. Not in there. And so that's why I don't preach on it. Because if you're going to go and grab from the law against tattoos, don't stop there. Stop eating shrimp. Do all those other things you're ignoring. Yeah, you have to have 100% cotton. No polyester mix. That's in there. Carry a paddle. So if you have to relieve yourself, you can bury it. It's in there. But see, that's what I call fundamentalism. It's this practice of, you know, especially dispensational fundamentalism. I'm a dispensationalist, except for when it comes to tattoos. You're going to junk the whole dispensational thing and go back and grab the law. See what I'm saying? I'm a dispensationalist, except for when it comes to Fuji. And we'll dunk and to go back there and grab some of these laws about food. That's what people do. And what the law did, for anyone who's paying attention, the law was there to prove you can't keep it. The law was there to say, you need Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus kept the law. He's the lawgiver. He's the only sinless man to ever live. And he happened to be God and man. And he shed his blood, the blood of God, to pay for your sins. That's what the law was here for. Not for fundamentalist Baptists in the year 2018 to go back and adopt again. So that's what it means, rudiments of the world. Now that you're saved and you have the Spirit of Christ, why are you drawn to the flesh? To try to please God in the flesh. That's what it's all about. Wherefore, that's why I underline, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, at the very least, we should recognize that such a tendency is a contradiction of our confession. You are making a confession as a Christian. You are making a confession that you have been spiritually circumcised. That you are born again. That you have the Spirit of God. Well, if then you're wanting a big list of things and you want something in the flesh, handwriting of ordinances as we studied in verses 16 and 17 to follow, you're not demonstrating walking in the Spirit, as Brother John was teaching this morning in Sunday school.
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit, it's simple, and we may say this more than once this morning, but you take that book that you have in your lap.
Yep.
Words.
Amen.
The Word of God, words.
Amen.
John 6:63, turn there. Chapter 6. Verse 63. Everybody there? Read it with me. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You take the word of God in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thy word have I hidden mine heart,
Amen.
That I might not sin against thee. It doesn't say thy commandments plus the rules my preacher has, plus the rules my denomination has, plus the rules my mama has, have I kept in my pocket so I can check them and not sin against thee. See the difference?
Amen.
You take the word of God in you, that's the only way the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. If God speaks to you in any way outside of His Word, it's you or a devil or the medication you're on. It's the words that God speaks in this book that is in you, and now God will use that. You want to know a lot of people never hear from God? They don't have His Word in them.
Amen. Amen.
It's like you take a gumball machine, you can put a quarter in there. Let me see. What happened to that? I found one in the parking lot. Take that quarter, put it in the machine, twist that knob. Happened to me when I was about 6. Nothing came out. Why? Because I was 6. I was too dumb to look in there and see there were no gumballs left. So I give it. Dad's like, there aren't any in there. How do you expect to get one out? I'm like, oh, there's an education. First look and make sure there's gumballs in there before you put your quarter in there. Oh, well, too bad you lost your quarter. That's what my dad said. Well, that's the same thing as a Christian praying, saying, Lord, speak to me. And they've never put the Word of God in there. They ain't got no gumballs. They can turn that crank all they want. God's not going to speak to them. You got to put the word in there. Fill your gumball machine. Amen?
Amen.
Don't look at me like that. Your dad preaching on Peter Pan this morning.
Amen.
So that's how you are confessing to be saved. You have the Spirit of God in you. Then you should be taking God's words in you because they are spirit. They are life. And His Spirit will speak to you if you got His Word in you.
Amen.
But if that is the case and you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. In other words, if Greg stands up here and says, well, I want to tell you today, you should not be listening to so-and-so, and you should not be watching this, and you should not be going there, and you shouldn't be wearing that. And some people love that stuff, man. They're like, oh, praise the Lord. You know, wait a minute. Time. Coach, where's that in this book? That's the question. Is it in there? If not, then you, if you're living by the book, you're not going to be subject to what I'm saying. You will only be subject to what I say that can be found in this book. Amen. Now, if I want to say this. If I teach you something that's in this book and you pretend it's not in there, you can pretend all you want. You're going to answer for it. If I'm teaching you something's in this book and you ignore it, it's on your head.
Amen.
Why? This is the people who really are dead with Christ, really saved. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why? You say you're saved. You're set free. Liberty. I can drink coffee and tea. Amen. It's an inside joke for those of you who don't understand it. Listen, I cannot understand, except for I know that most of the people who I've maybe even come into the fellowship here, and they want that. They want that. They want the ordinances. They want the preachers going to tell them. I hope they're saved.
Amen.
But I worry. I worry about someone like that. I think our fundamental churches let alone the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and all them. I'm talking the fundamental churches. I think it's scary. There are so few who know God's book. And so many who live as though they're in a cult. And I don't care if we never run more than... if we had everybody in here one week, it'd be about 50 people. I don't care if we never hit more than 50. I ain't never going to change. I ain't never going to change. I'm not going to adopt that method. I'm not going to start, you know... Well, we're going to get into that more in a little bit. Ain't going to happen. We are subject to Christ, not to men. I am subject to Christ and not to you. And you are subject to Christ and not to me.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of preachers stand up here and say what I said about preachers. I'm subject to the Lord and not to you. But then they'll turn right around and try to make you subject to them. No way. It goes both ways. I'm not subject to you. Let me say, I am subject to the book. So if there's something you ever see in me and you can demonstrate it by the book, I'll be subject to it. But I've had people come up and try to get me to subject to their extra biblical rules and their false ideas. Ain't happening. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Here's a little reality check. One example is those who pervert Scripture and condemn those who have a Christmas tree. I just thought I'd bring this up since we're at the season. Tis the season. And there are some people who would come in here and walk right back out because they see that tree up there. You could take the bulbs off and put it in there in July and they wouldn't say a thing. Oh yeah. Count them in. I need to do that every once in a while. That's how I get some of your attention. But these false accusers claim you worship the tree in your home or church. If you put up a tree, see, that's a false accusation. Now, if you ever walk in my house and I say, oh, come on in. And then before I sit down, I sit and get before the tree and cross myself, burn a little incense. Chant a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. And then I go sit down and say, welcome. How are you doing? You should say, Greg, you really shouldn't worship that tree like that. Otherwise, you accuse me of worshiping that tree, you're a liar. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You're a servant of Satan anytime you falsely accuse anybody, but especially the brethren. And this time of year, there are a bunch of what I call holiday hunters, are servants of Satan, walking around falsely accusing the brethren. Another one I won't get into right now, but I'll mention, is that if you take part in Christmas at all, they'll accuse you of taking part in Roman Catholic Mass. That person has a spirit of lies in them. Because no one's taking part in the Mass. I've never taken part in the Mass. We've never had Mass here. We've never had Mass in our homes. Never had Mass at my parents' house. The only thing we do in my family regarding Mass is we eat massive amounts of food. But that's just a false accusation. This is a meme by Brother Tim Breckheimer. Some of you may remember him. He visited on Wednesday night a couple years ago, I think. But he made this meme. It's really good. That at the top is not what's taking place at the bottom. That at the top is not worshiping a tree. Down at the bottom, that is idolatry. The top is not idolatry. It's good family fun. Amen. Some people, he says, need to learn how to read the plain English of Jeremiah 10. Amen. See, that's what they do. They go into the Bible and pretend that Jeremiah 10 is referring to Christmas trees. Jeremiah 10 has nothing to do with Christmas trees. This is Jeremiah 10, and that's a picture of what Jeremiah 10 is talking about. Jeremiah 10 says, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest." I know, first thing you think of is like Chevy Chase or something. "The works of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold." That's not talking about putting silver and gold, garland they call it? It's talking about actually taking that thing and painting. Decking originally meant painting. They were painting silver or gold over the piece of wood that they carved out of the tree. And it says, they deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Why? Well, a tree, you do, a lot of times will put it in something to keep it from falling over. But they put this, because it's decked with silver and gold, literally, real silver and gold, they fasten it in their homes so that no one will steal it. It's a little idol. How many of you know that you see these idols and they are silver and gold? They're not solid gold or solid silver. Hardly any. There might have been a few of those with the kings and the elites, but most people took a piece of wood and then they would paint it silver or gold. They'd melt this old gold or silver down. They'd cover it, deck it. That's what was happening here. And they put them. It says they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. Why would you say that about a tree? You wouldn't, but you would say that about that idol because he's got the figment of a face and a mouth, but he doesn't speak. See? It's not about a tree, it's about an idol. They must needs be born because they cannot go, meaning if you're going to move it, you have to move it because they don't have legs, they can't walk. They look like little people, but they're wood, chunks of wood. You wouldn't say that about a tree. Why would you move the tree around? You don't move the tree around. So it goes on, be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. The idol. It's not talking about a tree. It's talking about an idol. And for years, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Oneness Pentecostals went around teaching this stuff. And Baptists, back when the majority of Baptists knew their Bible, they wouldn't fall for that stuff. But now, all these novices, they get their own YouTube channel, they get on Facebook, and a lot of them go out and start their own churches, and they get all puffed up, and they teach nonsense. Oh. So, I want to say this. While we don't aggressively promote our own convictions, we also will not tolerate their aggression. In other words, I'm not running out on the streets, you know, and preaching, you must have a Christmas tree. You must celebrate Christmas. You must, you know, they get really aggressive. They're out on the streets preaching on this stuff. I should look it up, but there's a guy arrested last week. Why? He went to where people are sitting on Santa's lap, and he's telling the kids, Santa's not real. Santa is the devil. Your parents are lying to you. Yeah. And they arrested him. I said, good. Because I'll tell you what people, I said this to our group online, what people like that are going to do is they're going to keep pushing those buttons. They're going to go to, not only, they go to stand out in front of churches and preach at church people as they come out of churches. And what they're going to do is provoke and provoke until finally they start showing up at our churches. Not them, but the people who they're preaching at. The sodomites, the feminists. They're all going to start showing up at our churches, and it's because they're being provoked by these idiots. Paul never went to the pagan temples. He stood in Mars Hill. That was an open place, an open market. He didn't go to their temples. He didn't go to where Diana statues were and people were doing their little worship and start preaching at them. Why? Because Paul had some sense. He knew if they started doing that, they were going to come after them and their synagogues and their churches in the book of Acts. And that's what people are doing today. If they start showing up here, don't be shocked. They're being provoked. Well, the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that's a picture of me and our Christmas tree back when we could find our star and put it on top. This year, we got this little thing on top. We don't even know. We can't find our star. But I enjoy it. Some of you don't enjoy this. I'm not telling you to do it, but I enjoy it. I put on Christmas carols and in the sense of good Christmas music. Now, every once in a while, there's one, you know, like, it's a marshmallow world in the winter. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a great one. But in most of the...